This is Central Time. After Hurricane Ian moved through Florida, residents of Puerto Rico are still recovering from Hurricane Fiona earlier this month. 20% of Puerto Rican customers are still without power. Many are dealing with water outages as a result. As the U.S. turns its attention to recovery in Florida, some Puerto Ricans are worried they may be overlooked or forgotten. And the territory is still dealing with some of the consequences of Hurricane Maria back in 2017. Puerto Rico is a U.S. territory. Would the response be different if it were a state? Our next guest is an expert on how Puerto Rico functions under U.S. law. He's here to help us understand what it means to be a territory instead of a state or a sovereign nation. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think Puerto Rico should become a state, the 51st state in the United States, or should it stay as a territory? If you are from Puerto Rico or have family or connections there, what have your experiences been like with the island? What are you hearing right now? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Sam Ehrman is a professor of law at the University of Michigan. His research and teaching focuses on citizenship, the Constitution, empire, race, and legal change. He's the author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. Sam, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Sam, can you remind us how Puerto Rico briefly became a U.S. territory?
Sure. So back in 1898, there was a war involving the United States and Spain that had begun over conflicts in Cuba, but then spanned to the Philippines and Puerto Rico. And so the United States invaded Puerto Rico as part of that, and then in 1899, annexed the island from Spain.
Here we are still in 2022. Puerto Rico is a territory and never has become a state. Why is that?
Well, up until the annexation of Puerto Rico and the Philippines, the assumption was anywhere that was annexed was eventually going to become a state. And that was true, most recently with Hawaii, which was annexed in 1898. But when the United States annexed the Philippines, there were a lot of racist fears about what it would mean to make the Philippines a state. And so a new constitutional doctrine was created that allowed for territories to be so-called unincorporated territories that could be held indefinitely, neither as independent nations nor as states.
So someone who's a citizen of Puerto Rico is a citizen of the United States, but has essentially no representation in the federal government. Can you talk about the situation that over 3 million Puerto Ricans find themselves in?
That's right. So birth in Puerto Rico brings U.S. citizenship. But because Puerto Rico is a territory rather than a state, it has no voting representation in Washington, in the House, in the Senate, or a vote for the president. And so what that means is that Puerto Rico lacks hard political power in the nation's capital. If you're a U.S. citizen in Puerto Rico who moves to the mainland, you then are like any other citizen. You can vote in the state you move to. And if somebody from the mainland were to move to Puerto Rico, they would lose their ability to vote in federal elections.
There's a sense, I think, often from Puerto Rico after a hurricane 5 years ago, after the hurricane this year, that if they were a state, they would get more of a response, more attention from the federal government in the event of a disaster. Is there something to that argument?
That's almost certainly true. So 5 years ago, the difference between the disaster relief in Puerto Rico and that for hurricanes on the mainland was stark. The island had a large number of deaths attributable to the hurricane and to the inadequate response. And it took a very long time for the repair and recovery to occur. Indeed, the recovery was incomplete at the moment that they were hit again by a hurricane 5 years later, which is part of why the power grid collapsed so totally in the wake of the hurricane.
We're talking to University of Michigan law professor Sam Ehrman about Puerto Rico's role as U.S. territory in the wake of Hurricane Fiona, what it would mean to become a state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you think that the U.S. overlooks disasters in Puerto Rico because it's a territory that it might not overlook in a full-on state? Do you think Puerto Rico should be a state? What questions do you have about this ambiguous territory that this American territory is in? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Sam Ehrman, law professor at the University of Michigan, author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. He's with us today looking at how Puerto Rico functions as a U.S. territory in the wake of Hurricane Fiona and what might be different if it became a full-on state. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. If you have a question or a connection with Puerto Rico, call in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts. Let's bring on a caller now. Raymond is with us in Green Bay. Raymond, hi.
Hi. I have a question I've had for a long time. How can we tax the people of Puerto Rico if they don't have representation? I thought our Constitution said no taxation without representation.
Raymond, thanks for the call. Sam, what's the story with federal taxes on residents of Puerto Rico?
Well, it's exactly right that the idea that there would not be taxation without representation was at the heart of the American Revolution. And in Puerto Rico, they do pay extensive taxes of various sorts, although not federal income tax. And that's possible because that although the notion of no taxation without representation lies at the founding moment of our nation, the Constitution does not give representation to federal territories, and it does not include any prohibition on taxation as a result. So that sort of general constitutional or national principle has not been operationalized into constitutional doctrine.
Raymond, thanks for that call. We had a question from Eric in Madison who brings up, he's heard Puerto Rico referred to as a commonwealth, not as a territory. What does it mean when we say the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico?
So Puerto Rico went through a process where the island created its own constitution that the U.S. Congress was willing to approve with certain changes. And as part of that, the territory of Puerto Rico took on the name Commonwealth. But it, although it's now referred to as Commonwealth, it remains as a constitutional matter a territory. That's why if you live in Puerto Rico, you don't get to vote for federal representation. And it's also why Puerto Rico is not an independent country, but remains within U.S. sovereignty.
Thanks for that question, Eric. We hear things whenever there's a disaster like this, the Jones Act comes up, a law that restricts shipping to Puerto Rico, correct me if I'm wrong on this, to ships that are flagged with U.S. registries. That's not a rule that applies elsewhere, you know, in the mainland United States, for example. It's currently suspended, so other ships can carry things like diesel fuel there. Why is that something that's applied to Puerto Rico and not anywhere else in the U.S.?
So the Jones Act, to start, what it does is it raises prices in Puerto Rico. So if goods have to touch on the mainland and be put onto a U.S. flagged ship, it means that that's going to add cost. And so it's sort of like a tax on Puerto Ricans. And the purpose of this tax is that it helps to support the U.S. shipping industry. So if it has to be U.S. flagged ships that do the deliveries, that creates demand for U.S. flagged ships. So what's going on is that the Jones Act is imposing an implicit tax on Puerto Rico that's redistributing money to shore up the shipping industry.
Now, we've seen advisory referenda in Puerto Rico. I think the most recent one showed support for statehood for Puerto Rico. Clearly, it takes more than that, though. What would have to happen for Puerto Rico to turn from a territory to a state?
So the Constitution is actually clear on this. Congress has to vote statehood for Puerto Rico. Congress is the branch of the government that's empowered to admit Puerto Rico as a state.
And what's, could you talk a little bit about the politics that have made that not happen, not really even come close to happening?
Yes. So there's two things that I think have gotten in the way traditionally. On the one hand is Puerto Rico, there's a desire in the United States to not impose a new status on Puerto Rico. And so there's been questions among U.S. lawmakers about whether it's clear that Puerto Ricans want to be a U.S. state. On the flip side, the United States has long not made clear what statuses it would actually be willing to offer to Puerto Rico. So there's not been legislation out of Congress saying, Puerto Rico, you can be a state. You can be a territory, and this is all the changes we'd make to the laws, or you can be an independent country, and here's the kind of treaty that we'd be willing to give you to structure our relationships going forward. And so this has created a sort of decision-making paralysis where Puerto Ricans, because they don't really know what's on offer, aren't in a position to make a really clear statement about what status it is they would like. And then U.S. lawmakers have often pointed to that lack of a decision as a reason not to act.
Short of statehood, is there a legal change, I guess it would have to come from Congress, that you would like to see that might help Puerto Rico, especially when it comes to things like living through and recovering from disasters?
I think the most helpful thing that Congress could do would be to make a concrete offer to Puerto Rico about status options. And so if Congress were to say, what we're willing to offer in terms of independence is the following, and what we're willing to offer if you remain a territory, you know, is this, and we're also willing to offer statehood, that would permit Puerto Ricans to be able to make an informed choice among various options. And I think that would go a long way to breaking the logjam.
Sam, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Sam Ehrman, professor of law at the University of Michigan and author of the book Almost Citizens, Puerto Rico, the U.S. Constitution, and Empire. He's with us today for a look at Puerto Rico's role as a territory and the potential for future statehood as the country recovers from another major, or as the territory, excuse me, recovers from another major hurricane. Coming up, Congress is working to clarify the role of the vice president and of Congress itself in certifying presidential elections. We'll find out what's at stake. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Your support is the foundation of funding for WPR programs. It's the largest piece. It's what makes the Ideas Network your go-to place for great conversations. That's why Jill Nadeau is with me to encourage you to make your gift in support of the programs you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
So you can make an even greater impact when you give right now because $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of today.
So what's going on there? What happens is a group of generous members, they've created this challenge hoping to inspire your support of the programs you and your entire community rely on.
And let's meet this challenge. We're getting really, really close. So your gift of any amount now, it makes such a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
In the last segment, we visited Puerto Rico, still recovering from a major hurricane earlier this month, and looked at the legal status it's in as a territory, not a state, not an independent country, and helped, I hope, answer some questions we might all have about just how that system works, for better or worse. These are the kind of informative conversations you can count on here on Central Time.
Well, I know it answered a lot of the questions that I had, Rob, so I know one for good. I definitely learned something. And, you know, I did that because WPR is listener-supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org puertorico.org or at 888-202-2552. Well, it makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
It's easy to support Wisconsin Public Radio, and really the easiest way is to become a sustainer. You'll make ongoing monthly gifts from your bank account or a credit or debit card.
Some people give $10 a month. Many give $15 or $20. So just pick an amount that works for you and become a sustainer now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. Then sit back and enjoy the ease and convenience of supporting the programs that you value.
It's an election year, and coverage on Wisconsin Public Radio keeps you informed of the latest developments every step of the way.
That's right. It is an election year. We take you beyond the sound bites, though. So you get access to a range of perspectives on the issues. You know, this kind of in-depth news, well, it's just vital and is only possible with listener support. So cast your vote for Wisconsin Public Radio with your gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Everyone should make the gift that works for them. For you, that might be a gift of $100 or $200 a month.
Well, maybe that's why you pay for cable or your family phone plan. They're expensive. So listening to WPR is something that you do every day. Put a value on it, like other things that are important to you, at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
And your gift goes extra far now, because a group of generous members are going to give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on by the end of today.
And show off your support for Wisconsin Public Radio and ask for limited edition WPR tote bag. It's perfect for books, groceries, or your next errand. This tote will be your new favorite on-the-go accessory, and it's yours when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We heard from Chris in Mineral Point, who says, "You keep me company in the car and at home. Your content is knowledgeable and appreciated." Thanks, Chris says. Chris, thank you so much. I'm glad we're out there keeping you company wherever you are, whatever you're doing. Sometimes it's just nice to hear somebody talking. Hopefully it's good, you know, informative talking along the way too. If you appreciate that companionship, make a gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.